Every time we pray the Our Father, we ask to be forgiven as we forgive others. Do we realize what we're asking here? I'm Brian Patrick. Next in our series on the shocking claims of Jesus, we look at forgiveness on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on forgiveness with our Crossing the Goal team, Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin of Focus, and our former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. So as we talk about forgiveness, Peter, we're really picking up on where we left off last time.
It's part of the road to perfection. It's one of the concrete ways Jesus calls us to change the way we live. Our instinct, our flesh, our passion doesn't want to forgive people. We want to hold grudges, and it's not easy. Jesus said, you've been forgiven. I command you to forgive.
You know, forgive others, that's awfully, awfully, awfully difficult, especially if we've been hurt by someone very close to us. And he tells us that he wants us to forgive and love them. He didn't say anything about liking them.
That's good news.
Yeah. But the amazing thing, Danny, is that we're talking about really, it's almost like the secret decoder ring to all of life, because the one thing we need more than anything is forgiveness.
Yes.
And God is saying, you want to be forgiven? I'm going to show you how to do that. You forgive and you'll be forgiven. You pick the measure and it'll be measured back to you. So to be able to unlock the mercy of God is to be people of mercy first.
I like to say the two largest two-letter words in the Our Father, as we.
Exactly.
We ask to be forgiven. As we forgive, we need a game plan for this forgiveness thing. And fortunately, we have Curtis and Peter with the game plan next here on Crossing the Goal.
We're back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we're talking about maybe one of the most important themes we could ever talk about, and that is God's mercy and the importance of forgiveness and the role that that plays. And we really are touching right on the heart of who God is and who Jesus reveals. Yeah. We're told this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." And this is the God that the Catholic Church reveals to the world, a God who is rich in mercy. A lot of times that's not what the world hears about this. And so talking about God and his mercy and the importance of forgiveness is so important. How do we unlock that?
I think just the next line gives us a lot there in Ephesians. You read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses and sins." If we get this part right, we'll learn how to forgive. Jesus said very clearly, those who've been forgiven much, love much, and forgive much, and they just graciously pour it out because they realize, I was dead in my own sin. I was condemned without hope in the world, St. Paul said. I had literally no hope because of my sin, because of the decisions I've made, because I've connived with sin in my life, the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I've said yes to it again and again and again, and I had no future. And Jesus Christ came, and he died on the cross for me. He shed his blood. He paid the price that needed to be paid for my sin so I could be forgiven, so I have a chance to live with the Father forever. And it's just a free gift he's given to me. And now he says, freely you have been given, freely you receive, freely give. And he expects us to forgive as we've been forgiven.
Yeah, there's this infinite storehouse of forgiveness that he has given to us in Christ through Jesus' death and resurrection. And then he said, if you'd like to access this infinite storehouse, which I have given, I have waiting for you, then I'm going to ask one simple thing. Live in that same mercy and be ready to forgive those who wrong you. Sometimes we're wronged profoundly, but we are never wronged infinitely. But our offenses against God are against an infinite God, so they're infinite. And so by way of comparison, and I think for me, I know in my life, in those handful of times when I've really been wounded by somebody I love or in something significant, to be able to claim this promise as the starting point, I'm emotionally wrecked, I'm not ready to forgive, I don't feel like forgiving, and yet Jesus, you have told me that I will be forgiven as I forgive. And so I'm going to claim that promise, and I'm going to use that as the first step towards coming back to you and saying, Lord, I want to forgive. I will to forgive if you'll help me, because I want to be as, I want to receive as much mercy as I can, and so I want to give as much mercy. When you unload that, when you start turning that loose in our culture,
Yeah, that really is good. It's got a power to release and set people free. I love being a Catholic. I love seeing the crucifix on the walls, you know, and what we see is Jesus Christ bleeding and dying, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he's the perfect model for us. He's got, and people who are Christian, come on down off that cross. You're a failure. Where's all the people that love you? Where is everybody? You're a failed Messiah. And Jesus, all the circumstances looked like everything was turned against him. And he did the one thing that no other human being had ever done. He said yes to the Father. He said, Father, forgive them. You know, forgive them. That's the heart he wants to put in each one of us, so that no matter what the circumstances, because it's easy for us, Curtis, to say, wait a minute, I'm justified in doing this. Do you realize what this person did to me? I'm not going to forgive them. Are you kidding me? Look at the Son of God. People ran for the hills. They beat him. They stripped him. They did a lot worse to him than this person did to you and to me. And Jesus said, I want you to forgive just like I forgave you. And my Son, it will set you free, and it will be the doorway for them to be set free.
And we got to recognize, Peter, there are a lot of people viewing right now as we talk about this, they're sitting back saying, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done.
Yeah.
And we there are some horrible things that have been done out there. But recognize that when Jesus said, forgive them, he was talking to the men who didn't crucify him. They were crucifying him at that very moment.
Yeah.
And he looked through them into each of us. The Catechism tells us he knew each and every one of us while he was going through his passion. Yeah. He knew our worst days and our worst sins. And he was looking to the Father, looking at each one of us and saying, forgive them, Father. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. And that's the mercy that he wants to unleash into the world.
Yeah.
And the key for us to do is to receive that mercy and become people of forgiveness
Absolutely.
And mercy. And we, as we do that, everything changes, because an eye for an eye leaves everybody blind.
Yeah.
You know, and to move beyond that and say, you know, we could play the human justice thing and I could get even.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to do. God did not choose to get even with us.
Right, absolutely. And his circle of brothers said to him, okay, that's a hard word, but how many times do I have to do it in a day? Seven times? No, 70 times seven times. No limit. Perfect number. Jesus said, you must be willing always to forgive, because that's the heart of your Father. And I want you to live in the heart of your Father, because that's life for you and for everyone else who will come in contact with you.
And to recognize, even when he came to his apostles after his death and resurrection and on Easter Sunday, you can imagine their attitudes. They had run for the hills. Peter had denied him, and all of a sudden the door's locked, and all of a sudden he's there. It could have been ugly.
Yeah.
He could have been, where are you guys? What's up with you? But instead, the first words he gives to them, peace be with you.
Yeah.
And he forgives them and then gives them the sacrament of confession into as a gift to the church, so that we can experience God's mercy first, so that we can be men and women of mercy. Brian?
Thanks. Curtis and Peter, a dynamic game plan. Coach, I don't know about you, but I am one of those guys who's been forgiven so much.
Yeah, and I'm going to give these guys an opportunity for me to forgive them down in the red zone.
All right. We are there next here on Crossing the Goal. Well, here we are again in the red zone. We're talking about forgiveness in our series on the dramatic claims of Jesus, the harsh, shocking claims. And we're talking about forgiveness, Curtis, and sometimes it almost feels good to be justified to be unforgiving.
Oh, Brian, I think that sometimes our expectations of people become heightened and then we feel justified. I know one of the groups of people that I struggle with
are Catholics who don't remain faithful. And I find myself being excessively critical of them. And I need to recognize we've lived in a very broken time in the church. There are a lot of people who weren't taught well or weren't paying attention or the culture got them. And for whatever reason, they're not living their faith with vigor. And rather than trying to be medicinal about it, how do we make this better? I find myself frustrated. And I that's something I have to confess on a regular basis.
Yeah, you're well, frustrated. Thanks for confessing to us.
So, but I forgive you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I often wonder, why is the Lord so emphatic about this forgiveness idea? And as I meditated and thought about it for quite some time, I think it's for our own benefit.
I do too.
You know, when you don't forgive somebody and you hold it in, you hold that grudge, or it grinds, it turns into anger, resentment. I mean, all kind of possibilities. So I can relate to this because I remember in my life, I've been hurt, especially by some family members or close friends. Mm. And I held that grudge for years. And when I saw him, I acted, I played, oh, hey, how you doing? I like to knock him out. And then finally one day, the Lord says, Danny, when are you going to forgive this person? Did you remember I command you to?
Yeah.
It's not a good idea. Yeah. I command you to.
But like you said, it's for our own benefit.
Well, that's what happened, Brian. What I did is I finally did. They weren't around. I forgive this person. And then from that point on, it was like...
You're free.
I was free. And then me and that person and persons became friends. It just worked out. We got back together. I mean, not long lost friends or anything, but the relationship improved dramatically.
Well, what did you do when you said you forgave him? Is this something you did privately in your own heart? Did you go to the person and bring it up with them? What did you do?
Well, one particular case it was a long distance thing. I sort of forgave that person in my heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say, in my heart, I forgave that person. Truly forgave him. When I had an opportunity to be with him, it worked out a situation that I was with him, and then I forgave him. And person was really shook up. And it's happened with other, when close by, another case was I was by the person, and I says, I know you didn't mean it, but I want you to know for my benefit that I forgive you.
Another way that I've found is that when I feel like I need to forgive someone, I go to them and acknowledge my part in the situation and ask for their forgiveness. And when they speak those words of forgiveness, they will then often give me an opportunity to forgive them.
Peter, would you say that men are good at this? Is this something
we're just the best at it.
No. That's
what I was going to say. Absolutely love it. Yeah, right. Acknowledging our own weakness and our own sin and the need for
It seems like both sides are broken. We're not good at asking or giving.
Right, absolutely. It's really amazing that it's so easy for us to let things fester and to say, look, I mean, when we get hurt, it hurts. And you feel it inside and say, guess what? Danny's never going to do that to me again. You understand that?
Right.
And I'm not going to make myself vulnerable to that guy by, you know, asking forgiveness or whatever, or seeking his, you know, going to him and saying he's harmed me or whatever he's having. I'm not going to be vulnerable to anybody. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to get hurt anymore. It's not going to work that way.
Yeah. Right.
And then so we hang on to that.
Exactly.
What ends up happening is we hang on to it, doing just the opposite of what the Lord wants us to, because actually we're afraid to do it or we're too proud to do it. Whatever it is working in us, it's always something that holds us back. It ends up happening, then sin's worker, unforgiveness, starts doing its work in us.
Oh yeah.
Then we start getting, you know what? Then I start saying, you know, hey Brian, Danny's got problems, man. I don't like the guy. Do you like that guy? And we start talking about, we start spreading the poison.
Judgmentalism.
The poison. We start being critical. We want people to gather around our dislike for him because of what he's done to me or whatever it is.
Feeds.
And it just feeds on, and it divides, and it breaks. And it's just the opposite of the forgiveness is the glue that holds us together. This is why Jesus is not messing around. He said, I'm telling you, you must forgive. And so it's a decision. My feelings might say, look, I don't want to let Danny off the hook. I want Danny to feel bad. So I don't want to let him off the hook because I want him to feel the pain a little bit. Jesus said, don't go there or it's coming back at you if you go there.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute.
No, you go
can
first.
Go ahead. You guys, I'm going to forgive you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Are you guys sorry? I forgive you guys.
But we're not even good at that. We're not good at asking for forgiveness.
I'll sit back and say, I'll finally, all right.
I did something, and I it probably ticked I'm Peter sorry. Off. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. In other words, what you're really saying is someone's passive aggressive. You're a bit of a sissy, yeah. and you got these feelings that easily get hurt. And I'm sorry I hurt him, as opposed to, look, I was a jerk and did something wrong, and I'm apologizing for what I did wrong.
Right, exactly.
That's an apology.
I just say, you know, Curtis, what I'd like to do, I want to ask your forgiveness for the thing that I said about you to Danny. The lie I told about you that came back to you, I want to take responsibility for that. It's wrong. Please forgive me for what I've done.
And then guys say, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's actually not
acceptable. No, dude. Don't do that. Don't do that, because I know
it's
okay.
All right. No problem, dude. No problem.
What about this one? Yeah.
So how would you respond? How would you respond then, saying that's okay?
Yeah, Peter, I hear you. I'm grateful that you were willing to say that, and I want you to know that I forgive you, and I'm hoping that we can build our relationship and allow Christ to restore that.
That's good.
But accept that offer. Forgive the apology, and then receive that. And we don't do that, and so there's this wound that festers underneath the surface. And then we're kind of messed up on the inside, and guess what? We start throwing elbows in other relationships, and other people get wounded.
You know, further on in scriptures, the tie into this, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? And then 70 times? Seven times.
Yeah.
Well, it could happen. It's not like one time, I got that out of the way, I'm not going to do that, you know, or whatever. We just, and then to me, in my life, what happens a lot of times when I need to forgive somebody, before I do it, and you touched on a little bit, is I start judging and saying, well, this person, he didn't really mean, you know, he didn't really mean it. This happened. It was all these games we start playing. Yeah. That's why it's not just the mind. It's got to come from your heart that you really, that doesn't mean, and I said in the game plan, that we have to like them. We must love them and respect them, but that doesn't mean we have to be buddy buddies with them.
And unforgiveness is a prison. We imprison ourselves. The person that we're not forgiven probably doesn't even know it. We're doing that to ourselves. I equate it to replaying a guy getting his leg broken in a football game, playing it over and over from all the different angles, slow motion. So you feel it, and it keeps hurting more, and you talk about festering.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, and one of the advantages of being a sinner that I am, is I've been forgiven for so much that I can't possibly not forgive others.
Well, and the funny thing, Brian, you sit back and say, you listen to Jesus saying, you need to forgive 7 times 70. And you're like, I don't know if I can do that. And actually, when I turn that around and look at Christ, he has forgiven me many, many more times than 7 times 70, and I need even more. And so what seems like an unrealistic request of us is actually something he's more than extending to us.
I think one of the themes of the show that's running through the series is all of us laying hold of how dead serious and immovable Jesus is on these issues. He means it. And if we're resisting these things, we're resisting the Lord. If I'm still hanging out refusing to forgive Danny because I want him to pay a price, I'm not only causing a problem in Danny's life and my life, I'm resisting the will of the King who's bringing his kingdom, and I put myself in a really dangerous place resisting the Lord.
I mean,
it's, he's not messing around.
We have a lot of problems as in families. Husbands and wives not being able to forgive, or children fathers and sons.
Oh,
I mean, not speaking to people for years upon years.
Crazy.
I mean, this has to be broken. We can't carry this on. I mean,
obey, be humble, do it. Just obey the
Lord. You got to do it. You got to do it. I see the hurt that's been over years. I mean, big time. So out there, guys, fathers and sons, or whatever, brothers against what. Life's too short. You got to forgive one another and go on. If the other person don't want to do it, you start it. You initiate it.
And you will be amazed at the freedom that you experience.
Yes.
These guys will get the last word on forgiveness as we move into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We'll also check out our email bag. We hope you can stay with us. We have pushed into the end zone on our show on forgiveness here on Crossing the Goal. These guys will get the last word on forgiveness in a moment. But first, let's go to our email bag to upstate New York. Don, who's in quite a situation here, writes, he says, guys, I find myself in a very rocky marriage. My prayer life is falling apart and also my patience. He goes on to say that he is Catholic, his wife is Baptist, but he says, I haven't been as good of a spiritual leader as I should have to my teenage boys. Would you, he says, life is not where it needs to be. Please help.
Don, you've taken the first step. You admitted that you have a problem. That's great right there. Now, take that situation and improve on it. Go into prayer. Ask the Lord to help you in these areas. You mentioned them. You told every one of them what your area that you need help in. He'll begin to help you and change your life.
Yeah, and find a wise man and wear out his doorstep. Find a good priest. Find a man in your parish, somebody you can lean on. And sit down and get this all out. Just tell the truth. This is the kind of husband, this is the kind of father I've been. I don't want to go down that road anymore, but I'm afraid I don't know how to go, what to do from this point. Can you help me? No man can stand alone. We have to get the help we need. Then also, get some of the resources we have, the Crossing the Goal material, the shows, the DVDs. Just watch. There's a lot of great teaching and a lot of great formation that can help encourage you live the new way you want to live.
So we're going to go to God,
and then we're going to seek some wisdom. And the final thing is, go to your loved ones. And tell them you're sorry. Just say, I'm so sorry that I've done this, and I want to be a better man, but I need to ask your forgiveness. It's been my experience that even my young children respond so well to an apology from their father, my wife certainly. And so I think those three steps, go to God, get some counsel, and then go right to the people that you've fallen short with and just ask forgiveness.
Yeah. And so I hear good. So many guys say they've fallen short and they can't forgive themselves. Don, forget about forgiving yourself. Accept God's forgiveness. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross. And if you have an email that you'd like to share with us, maybe we'll share it here on Crossing the Goal. Go to crossingthegoal.com and send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Peter, the last word on forgiveness now.
Thanks, Brian. Just two simple things. One is, brothers, if you remember anything from this show, remember, forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. Doesn't matter how I feel right now. The Master has commanded me to live a particular way for my good and the good of those that he's brought into my life. Stand on that decision and he'll lead you to freedom.
Our Lord says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap, for by the standard that you measure, it will be measured back to you. It's so important for us to be able to recognize that God is serious when he says, as you forgive, you will be forgiven. My encouragement is, go deep into your heart and go to the people you've wounded and seek forgiveness from them.
Guys, as I travel around and listen to people and then get emails that come in and how family members are all disgruntled at one another and can't get along, especially father and son, what I ask you to do now is you take the initiative. Go to your son or your son, you go to the father and say, first of all, I'm sorry, I love you, and I forgive you, and ask for forgiveness also. Watch how the other person lights up and how good you feel when you're finished with it.
Forgiveness is a gift. Coach, thank you. Curtis, Peter, and thank you for watching Crossing the Goal. You know, our words can edify or they can destroy. Next time on Crossing the Goal, as we continue to examine the shocking claims of Jesus, power of speech. We hope you'll join us then for Crossing the Goal.